Yesterday, after the homily, I sat down there and I immediately realized that I didn't say at least two of the points that I had intended to say yesterday. I had not mentioned at all the first reading, and I hadn't mentioned the image of Saint Joseph that's here in the sanctuary. Well, today's first reading is a continuation of yesterday's first reading, so this gives me an opportunity to make up for what I failed to do yesterday. If you remember yesterday, the gospel was the healing of the leper, and one of the points I made was the man who was healed did not do what Jesus told him to do. And so I stressed the importance of listening and obedience. And I intended to connect that to the first reading yesterday, which was about hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is the opposite of listening and obedience. The example I intended to point to was Saint Joseph. You see the image here in the sanctuary, Saint Joseph, protector of the unwed. We put it here because the bishop, in his pastoral letter on the Feast of the Holy Family, directed all the parishes and all the chapels to put an image of Saint Joseph in public display for this year of Saint Joseph. Now, we had an image of Saint Joseph here because we had a nativity scene there on the front step, and Joseph is, of course, a part of the scene. But now that we have entered into ordinary time, we put the nativity scene away, and then we had no image of Saint Joseph here in the chapel. So I asked Evelinda to set up a little display there, and the image is the icon of Saint Joseph, protector of the unwed. The original is drawn by our founder, Father Francis, and this laminated version has been hanging up in on the second floor outside the conference room, so some of you have seen it. Saint Joseph is a man who has no hardness of heart. He is entirely a good listener and entirely obedient, a man of great faith. So we can learn a lot from Saint Joseph, even though the typical pattern is after the Christmas season, you forget about him. And that's what happened. You put away the nativity scene and there's no more Saint Joseph. Well, this is the year of Saint Joseph, so let's keep him in mind. He is a kind of an antidote to the spirit that's mentioned in today's letter to the Hebrews, this sickness of failing to do what God tells us to do, this hardness of heart, this failure to listen and act in faith. Disobedience really is the problem. Disobedience. What Joseph is obedient. With Joseph in the back of my mind, I turn to the passage in today's gospel, the story of the healing, the forgiveness and healing of the paralytic. And I thought, you know where Joseph would be in this story? He would be one of the men carrying the paralytic. It's exactly the kind of thing Joseph would do. No attention to himself, service of others, acting in faith, no words. You can imagine, and of course, Joseph was dead by the time this happened, so don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he was there, but I'm saying the kind of person Joseph was, he would be like these four men carrying their friend to Jesus, with hearts full of faith, knowing that Jesus could do something to help him. And Jesus sees their faith, and that's why he takes action on behalf of the paralyzed man. Part of Joseph's strength, remember, is his ability to change course when he learns the will of God, his ability to adjust out of obedient faith. Now, for example, when he learned that Mary was pregnant, he had to make a decision. He got a message in a dream. He changed his decision. There in Bethlehem, he hears another message in a dream about Herod's threats. He gets up in the middle of the night and says, okay, we can't stay here anymore. We're going to Egypt. So Joseph is ready to change. These four men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus certainly were expecting Jesus to heal the man. Jesus' first statement to the man, though, is, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Anyone who had approached this scene in faith would have had to make a quick adjustment. Ah, I brought the man here for a physical healing. Jesus decides to give him a spiritual healing. Okay. I can imagine Joseph saying, "Well, if that's what God wants to do, well, that's what I want too." Obedient faith, be ready to change course if that's what God indicates. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Those with faith, hopefully the four men on the roof, but certainly anyone with the faith of Joseph would say, "Right, that's what God wants to do." And this helps us make an adjustment in ourselves. You see, God is more intent on saving us from sin than in curing physical illnesses. This is very clear. And we are the ones who are striving to live in obedient faith, so we have to adjust. We can't be so fixated on what we want God to do in terms of physical healings that we miss the point of what he really wants to do, which is save us for eternal life. The curing of the paralytic is a twofold miracle: forgiveness and healing. Spiritual healing and physical healing. And spiritual healing is more important. We have to get this. I think one of the things that's exposed by the pandemic is that people are not really so concerned about spiritual healing. Everybody's worried about the virus. And they think that getting the virus is the worst possible thing that could happen. It isn't. It's not the worst possible thing that could happen. The worst possible thing that could happen is to be cut off from God, to live without grace, to die in the state of mortal sin. That's the worst thing that could happen. Whether you die of a virus or a car accident or cancer or whatever, that's not the issue. The central issue. Of course, we have to work for healing, and God is a healer. But we're not here forever. So this idea that we have to do everything possible, we have to shut down everything just to avoid the virus, is evidence of an exaggeration. That we think physical healing or physical health is the most important thing in the world. It's not. Jesus here, in revealing himself, does the physical healing in order to prove to them that he has authority on earth to forgive sins. So physical healing, it has its place, yes. But it's to direct us to faith in the one who forgives sins. This is what I'm sure Joseph would want us to get, to make the adjustment. If God here is revealing that he's a God of forgiveness, then that's what we accept, we embrace with obedient faith. We still pray for healing. We still work for physical health. We still take care of ourselves, follow the safety protocols, yes. But not with anxiety about any physical illness. In this past, 9 months, 10 months, a lot more damage has been done to the world by sin than by the coronavirus, a lot more. And most people don't pay any attention at all. So, with faith, with obedient faith, with the instruction that we gain from this gospel, let us welcome in faith the offer of the forgiveness of sins. And we submit ourselves to God for our physical health as well.